What else lies upon your thinking?
What of the one called the Buddha?
Sam? Your old lover? What of him indeed? What would you know concerning him?
How shall he be dealt with?
I have not yet decided. Shiva has suggested we wait for a time before doing anything. Thus we may assess his effect upon the community of heaven. I have decided that Vishnu will have been the Buddha, for historical and theological purposes. As for Sam himself, I will give hearing to any reasonable suggestion.
Did you not offer him godhood once?
Yes. He did not accept it, however.
Supposing you did so again?
Why?
The present problem would not exist were he not a very talented individual. His talents would make him a worthy addition to the pantheon.
This thought has occurred to me also. Now, however, he would agree whether he meant it or not. I am certain that he wishes to live.
Yet, there are ways in which one can be sure in these matters.
Such as?
Psych probe.
And if this shows a lack of commitment to heaven, which it will,
could not his mind itself be altered by one such as Lord Mara?
I have never thought you guilty of sentiment, goddess, but it would seem you are most anxious for him to continue existing in any form.
Perhaps I am.
You know that he might be very changed. He will not be the same if this thing is done to him. His talent may then be totally absent.
In the course of ages, all men change naturally. Opinions, beliefs, convictions. Parts of the mind may sleep and other parts may awaken. Talent, I feel, is a difficult thing to destroy, as long as life itself remains. It is better to live than to die.
I might be convinced of this, goddess, if you have the time.
Most lovely one. How much time?
Say, 3 days.
3 days, then.
Then let us adjourn to my pavilion of joys and discuss the matter fully.
Very well.
Where is Lord Yama now?
He labors in his workshop.
A lengthy project, I trust.
At least 3 days.
Good. Yes, there may be some hope for Sam. It is against my better thinking, but then I can appreciate the notion. Yes, I can.
The eight-armed statue of the goddess who was blue played upon the vina, making music to fall about them as they walked in the garden that summer. Helba dwelled on the far side of heaven, near to the wilderness's edge. So near to the forest, in fact, was the palace called Plunder, that the animals stalked past the one transparent wall, brushing against it as they went. From the room called Rape, one could look out upon the shaded trails of the jungle. It was within this room, its walls hung with the stolen treasures of lives past, that Helba entertained the one called Sam. Helba was the goddess of thieves. No one knew Helba's true sex, for Helba's was the habit of alternating gender with each incarnation. Sam looked upon a lithe, dark-skinned woman who wore a yellow sari and yellow veil. Her sandals and nails were the color of cinnamon, and she wore a tiara that was golden upon her black hair.
"You have," said Helba, in a voice soft and purring, "my sympathy. It is only during those seasons of life when I incarnate as a man, Sam, that I wield my attribute and engage in actual plunder."
"You must be able to take on your aspect now."
"Of course."
"And raise up your attribute?"
"Probably."
"But you will not?"
"Not while I wear the form of woman. As a man, I will undertake to steal anything from anywhere. See there, upon the far wall, where some of my trophies are hung? The great blue feather cloak belonged to Srit, chief among the Kataputna demons. I stole it from out his cave as his hellhound slept, drugged by myself. The shape-changing jewel I took from the very dome of the glow, climbing with suction discs upon my wrists and knees and toes, as the mothers beneath me."
"Enough," said Sam.
I know all of these tales, Helba, for you tell them constantly. It has been so long since you have undertaken a daring theft, as of old, that I suppose these glories long past must be oft repeated. Else even the elder gods would forget what once you were. I can see that I have come to the wrong place, and I shall try elsewhere. He stood as to go.
Wait, said Helba, stirring.
Sam paused.
Yes?
You could at least tell me of the theft you are contemplating. Perhaps I can offer advice.
What good would even your greatest advice be, Monarch of Thieves?
I do not need words, I need actions.
Perhaps even, tell me.
All right, said Sam, though I doubt you would be interested in a task this difficult.
You can skip over the child psychology and tell me what it is you want stolen.
In the Museum of Heaven, which is a well-built and continuously guarded installation,
and one that is always open, go on.
In this building, within a computer-protected guard case,
these can be beaten by one of sufficient skill.
Within this case, upon a mannequin is hung a gray, scaled uniform. Many weapons lie about it.
Whose?
This was the ancient habit of he who fought in the northern marches, in the days of the wars against the demons.
Was this not yourself?
Sam tipped his smile forward and continued. Unknown to most, as part of this display there is an item which was once known as the Talisman of the Binder. It may have lost all its virtue by now, but, on the other hand, it is possible that it has not. It served as a focus for the Binder's special attribute, and he finds that he needs it once again.
Which is the item you want stolen?
The great wide belt of shells which is clasped about the waist of the costume. It is pink and yellow in color. It is also full of micro-miniature circuitry, which could probably not be duplicated today.
That is not so great a theft. I just might consider it in this form.
I would need it in a hurry or not at all.
How soon?
Within 6 days, I fear.
What would you be willing to pay me to deliver it into your hands?
I would be willing to pay you anything, if I had anything.
Oh, you came to heaven without a fortune?
Yes.
Unfortunate.
If I make good my escape, you can name your price.
And if you do not, I receive nothing.
It appears that way.
Let me ponder. It may amuse me to do this thing.